I'm Lindsay with Wild Root Flower Company.
And I'm Shannon from Bloom Hill Farm. Over the last 6 years, we've leaned on each other as we grew our farms into the profitable six-figure farms they are today.
We want you to join us each week as we have real, honest conversations about life and business. And we promise you'll leave feeling inspired and your farming toolbox will be filled with actionable strategies you can implement at any stage in your business.
Learn from our mistakes as we talk business, marketing, and growing techniques to help you create the farm of your dreams.
So let's roll up our sleeves
and get the dirt on flowers. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to another episode of The Dirt on Flowers. It's so pretty today. It is so gorgeous out. I have like all of my windows open. Same. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it's March 4th when we're recording this. And I literally any days like this in March, I feel like I'm stealing.
I know.
It's just so beautiful. And I'm a windows open kind of gal.
Yeah.
So it just helps my mental state to have the windows open. How about you?
Yeah, it does me too. But I always get, especially when it's really warm, I'm like, why is it 70 in March? At the beginning of March, it freaks me out, you know, and then it's I'm like watching the tulips. Yeah, it's like, it's great. And then I'm like, ah. Yeah. Which is just part of farming. But
I've been seeing all these memes like Midwesterners when it's 50 degrees.
Yeah.
We got our tank tops on.
So true.
I know. And all the Floridians out there are like still, you know, wearing their sweatshirts and their coats.
Well, you know, my brother moved to Florida. He's been there for years and he's now in Texas, but he married a Floridian and he got soft. Like they are talking about how cold it was going to be, you know, and like showing temperatures and it was like in the low 40s.
I'm like,
what?
You're good.
Yeah, come on, Cole, you're an Ohio boy. Like, it's just like, no, not now. He's quite used to those mild winters and, you know, or yes. No winter whatsoever. But
yeah,
it was funny.
You know, Judd and I were talking. Judd's like, I think officially no snow. You know, he's like, we're probably past the point of snow, which just makes me think because we were on an episode we were talking about that's got so much attention in our insiders group. Sledding. We called it sled riding.
Sled riding.
When you go sled riding.
Because
everybody thought that was the craziest thing because they call it sledding.
Sledding or?
Yeah. Or.
What was the other thing?
What was. Yeah.
Not tubing.
Yeah.
Toboggan. Not a toboggan.
Yeah. No. I don't know
what they were calling it.
I think we're officially done sled riding also. So.
Yeah, I think so. We didn't get to do that. Yeah. They got a lot of attention in the group. They were like, time out. What are you guys talking about? And then we had a lot of people back us up too. And it was because I said it and you came to my rescue in that. I think it was the episode that we talked about Rowan calling me out for meatballs. And they said, is anybody else walking around saying two meatballs? I want two meatballs. Like, oh my gosh. So
yeah.
Not much slips by you guys.
I know. You guys are really listening. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wait, people are listening to this. Did you know that, Lindsay?
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe it. I know. Well, today we're doing a Spill the Dirt episode, and I know you guys love these. We love doing them because it's so fun to see. So Lindsay and I kind of rotate. So every other week, you know, she does social and then I'll do social. And when I put the box up, especially in my week, I always like – I really look and see what you guys are asking. And it's so interesting to see, like, where your all minds are. Like, what are you thinking about? What are you struggling about? And it's just so, like, seasonal. You know, it's just interesting to see. But, you know, that question box on Sunday drives these episodes. So it really is important. So if you follow us on Instagram at Dirt on Flowers on Sundays, if we're clicking on all cylinders and had enough coffee – we post the question box that says, what are you thinking about? What are you struggling with? What do you want to hear more of? But that really is your opportunity to help give us some feedback about what you want to hear. So we have a fun group of questions today. So yeah.
So the first one is mental prep for the year. What are you excited, curious, worried about for the growing season? Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see how the season unfolds, you know, this year, because I am making changes. And somebody messaged me and said, you keep hinting that you're making all these changes, but you never say what they are. I was like, well, that's true. Part of it partially is because I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Just being honest. Hopefully by the time you hear this episode, I have figured it out. So I actually think I will just say that one of the changes that we're making is that we're not going to have our U-Pick open this year for like during the week. And we're trialing it for just on Saturdays. So part of that is because of, you know, my personal, the health journey that I'm on right now with this breast cancer, that I really, I'm going to have some physical limitations several times, different times this year with surgeries, and also just trying to manage the farm in a different way this year. So that's one of, that's like the biggest change for me. And then the other is that, you know, I have one of my full-time girls is going on maternity leave. So that's a big, you know, part of my, my team is pretty small. And so that's going to be a change for us. And we're navigating that a little bit this year different. But, you know, I, that is one thing that I love though about what we do, because as business owners, we get to change up and be flexible and adapt to what we have going on in our own lives. And just, you know, she asked like, what are you excited or curious? And I feel like we're kind of always in that curious spot of like, what's working, what's not working.
Or we should be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like I'm going to be always in that curious spot this year too, with just, we're trying to hit the same top line revenue goal with cutting out the U-Pick piece. We're still going to do events, and we're still going to do, be open on Saturdays. We're going to do some private parties, I think, for that, to try to like get those goals. But for us, we're going to close during the week unless it's for like a private pick. So that's going to be, that's going to be a change for us. That does have me, I don't want to say worried, that we're cutting, you know, it's just a, we're changing a part of the business. So there always is a little bit of fear where you're like, oh God, is that the right decision or not? I don't know. It feels like it's the right decision when I'm not worried about like the financial side of it and doing what it is that like I really think fits me best for this season. It's, you know, knowing that it doesn't have to be permanent, but that's what the choice is for this year. And it was really helpful for me to just commit to it and then move forward and make plans, because then I can make my crop plan. That's how I'm going to hire people, all those things. So that's one. I would say worried, I'm cutting out like a huge production bed of mine that has me, that's probably a worry.
What led you to that decision? Just curious, because I think people are like, okay, why does somebody choose to
I felt like there were other tunnel space that we could be maximizing. We weren't maximizing our summer tunnel space. So that was one. And also because I thought I had a lot of overproduction last year. So two seasons ago, we cut out our summer CSA subscription, and I adjusted the crop plan, but last year I didn't feel like I really adjusted it enough. And so it's a labor management. I kind of looked around at what we had. We're also, you know, we're cutting out zinnias. We're moving those to U-Pick only. So I know I'll have extra product. And if like worst case scenario, I'm like, I'm out of room, I can just fill up that one area and throw it down. Like, it's not going to be a big deal. Yes. But, you know, for me to eliminate that, it's strictly from a waste standpoint. So we are reallocating it to a smaller bed. We're moving to a different bed. So we're basically cutting that production in half, because I think from reflushes, cutting out zinnias, moving a few things into the tunnel space, I think I can get away with doing that pretty easily. Yeah. So
very cool.
Yeah.
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 That it's just like nervous. Being in a constant state of I really have tried, like, everything that we do or all the decisions that we make are all data points, you know, and we can change these things next year, and there's nothing permanent. Like, nobody's making permanent decisions. And so I always try to keep that in my frame of mind when I'm thinking about these things too, that I'm just figuring it out. We're still tweaking, you know, at this point, you know, ninth growing season. Yeah.
I think this is my eighth. Yeah.
Eighth. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Eighth. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. And okay. Mental prep.
Yeah. What about yours?
I'm most excited about, well, a couple things. Labor has always been a huge issue for us. So we're getting, our H2A guys are joining us in April. So I talked about that a little bit here, especially on the farm expansion podcast that Judd and I did. So those guys are coming. So I'm so happy this year to not be worrying too much about labor, because I feel like that's always a huge thing. It's like, who am I going to get? Am I going to get the right people? Am I get enough people? How much do I need? Especially with the scale up to the other farm this year, changing the business model a little bit. That is so exciting to me because I love it when there's something new to dive into. It's also terrifying. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely. From a financial standpoint, it's a big, do I think I will be absolutely fine? Yes. And you're asking me at the wrong time because you know this time is always
yeah,
always just hard on flower farms because we have all of our spring expenses and all of those things are happening, but we don't quite have flowers yet. So we're not really bringing in a ton of revenue. So it's just one of those times where this time of the year, I'm always in a financial worry-ish. Yeah. You know, not bad, but just it's just as the worrier of those things, I am that in my relationship with Judd. I worry. CWO, I'm the chief worrying officer.
Yes.
So I'm always worried about something, but right now, typically, it's the financials. But I'm just excited to see how that unfolds and what we're going to learn over there and what it looks like having consistent labor. I don't even know what that looks like, honestly, just having very consistent, reliable labor to help. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a challenge in its own way, but I think it'll definitely be an improvement. So I'm just looking forward to a little bit more balance mm-hmm. during the crazy season, which for me, like the crazy season is really like July through September, where we're like doing something every Saturday. And we did hire a girl to kind of help manage some of the weekend events so that I don't have to be at every single weekend event. So I'm just trying to manage it all better. From a production standpoint, we're doing maybe a tidge more, but not a ton. Like we're moving a lot of our stuff over to the other farm. So it's change, and change is hard, but yeah. also exciting. And I just have to remind myself that I've planned for this. I've gone over it in my head 1,000 times, and I'm just reassuring myself that everything's going to be fine, and it yeah. will be. But what we do as business owners is take risk, and I feel like my risk tolerance has gone up
yeah.
over time. There's more at stake now too, you know.
Yeah.
But I think I'm more excited than anything. I can't wait. I'm ready to see flowers this year more than ever.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think as far as like my excitement too, I don't know mm-hmm. I said I'm kind of excited to see how the year unfolds, but I'm looking to hire some people that mm-hmm. I'm assuming they'll be hired by the time this comes out, yeah. but to help me run my workshops. So that mm-hmm. same thing you were just when you were saying for me to be able to step away is like, I realize that, you know, I am again a pinch point in my business. Like I was years, you know, back a few years ago before I hired my first employees. And I'm kind of at that place now where it's like, I really need to have help with running, you know, administrative things in the business and stuff that I should be stepping out of to do other things. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm excited about that because I think it's a priority for me to get it figured out this year. So
yeah.
Someone sent me florette seeds in the mail.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No note, no nothing. So if it was one Aww. Of you, you can That's send me sweet. A note and tell me who it was. I know. I was like, I opened the mail. I was like, what is this? Aww. Yeah.
Where are you going to plant those babies?
I don't know.
Is it zinnias?
It's zinnias Solosia. And celosia, both. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No, we field plant. I don't think I can do zinnias in the high tunnel. It'll just be like
yeah.
Yeah. powdery mildew.
Too much.
By yeah. July. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to plant them somewhere. Isn't that That's sweet?
Exciting. Yeah.
I know.
That's very sweet. Okay. Next question. Do you ever fight panic after placing a big order? Yeah. Yes and no. Not really. Not anymore. I used to worry.
You didn't panic a little bit after your last tulip order?
Okay. Yeah, I did because I was doing the U-Pick tulips. I added yes. Yes. So tulips especially because they're a big investment. I feel like there's like so much that can go wrong with them.
Yeah.
You know, there's like that one particularly is always, I think, nerve-wracking. I try to, and the climate has kind of changed with ordering things. You know, you have to do that earlier than ever. And I think last year there was more of a push to do things a lot earlier because there was like a scarcity worry
yeah.
behind some of it. And I don't know if that's still this year or I'm just not pressuring myself with it. I'm just going to mm-hmm. wait and see what tulips I liked. And I just remind myself that especially like I work with bulb. A lot of the times I can, or I think a lot of the bulb suppliers, they let you change things. So I'll submit my initial order and then I'll be like, okay, I hated this tulip. you know, so I'm going to, hey, can I delete that off? Or, and they're usually pretty flexible that way. So nothing is 100% set in stone, at least for a month or so. Mm-hmm. But it is, it's always a big worry. What we do is a gamble. And there's lots of variables outside of our control. It's gotten easier, but when I'm doing new things, I think it's a worry. New crop.
Yeah.
New anything. Yeah. The U-Pick tulip was, yeah, that was terrifying.
Yeah. I thought, but when I saw that question, I was like, I thought of you, because I was like, man, I would have been like,
I know. But there, I've been worrying about my U-Pick tulips, just like, are they going to come up? And they have to come up, and because financially, like, it would be a really good boost for us in April, and they're all coming up beautifully. And we planted them a little bit different, which I hate. I hate that. I'm somebody, if once it works one time, I'm like good to keep it that way and not vary from that. Judd always wants to change the way we're planting things. I'm like, why would we do that when it worked the other way? But this year we used a middle buster to create the trench, and we literally just kind of shook the bulb crates, and I didn't worry about what end the tulip was up. None of that. That's like the only way that two people can plant 50,000 tulips.
Yeah.
And not lose our minds.
Do you cover it back up with a middle buster? Did you go back over it?
He has like a hilling attachment on his tractor. So mm-hmm. he kind of like hilled them up a little bit, not a lot, but so he covered it with that. So there's like a little hill that the tulips are in.
Okay.
But everything's coming up. We have our deer fence up, and it's electrified. So
that's good.
But yeah, I'm just trying to protect that investment, because it's a big bulb cost. So I was really worried about that. But everything's coming up, and it's going to be fine.
Good.
But why is it terrifying to plant a tulip the wrong?
Oh, I would have been too, because they're always telling you, nestle it down in. Because you're seeing how careful everybody's planting them in. And so.
No, I know. But it works. It worked. So.
Well, good.
It's good. Yeah. But what about you? I mean, I'm always panicking in some way, shape, or form. But.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I think initially tulips are the thing that come to mind, or ranunculus, you know, when you're like initially. I think early on that's a natural feeling, because you're planning, like you said, for the next season, and you maybe aren't even finishing out your first season in growing this. Mm-hmm. You don't know if you're going to have success in it. But yeah, eventually you kind of get used – you do kind of get used to making those bigger purchases, and then mm-hmm. it doesn't – you don't – that panic goes away. I'm not really making any big crop orders. Although when I bought my flower stand, you know, I felt pretty confident that I would be able to make money back off of it. But you're investing in something that's pretty expensive. Sure. Or I bought a tractor last year. That's another one. I'm like, ooh, you're just spending that big money. But you do know it's going to pay off, you know,
And I feel like it always does.
Yeah. Yep.
It always does. You know, there's been few moments where we've bought something, I'm just thinking crop wise, and it was like a complete failure. But those investments aren't huge. You know, that's why you try things at first. I mean, tractors are – listen, if I've learned anything from Judd, tractors hold their value.
Yeah.
They 100% do. They're a good investment. But yeah, I know. It's just – we're still worrying at this point. Mm-hmm. We still get nervous, but it gets easier as time goes on.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. You get desensitized to it a little bit.
Yes.
All right. So I've been getting this questions because I shared with everybody that I was forcing tulips in my basement. So everybody's been asking me, you know, just said they're very interested in forcing tulips and having blooms in the winter and early spring. And, you know, I've been asked some questions on this. So I wanted to, I guess, say why I'm not like blasting this all over the place, or also just give you some tips and things to think about. It's a really good investment, I think, to have blooms in early, you know, in winter and early spring. It's definitely a good way. For some people, like Shan, you know, you're like, I'm not interested in it. It's kind of our downtime, and that's totally fine. And, you know, for us, where I'm trying to figure out is, you know, my busiest time, Shan, when you were talking about July through September, is for us, yeah, we're really busy then, but our busiest is spring. And so I keep looking at like, okay, well, how do I maybe on these shoulder seasons, Christmas is another busy season for us too. Mm-hmm. How do I make more money on these shoulder seasons when, you know, there isn't the abundance of flowers that is around for everybody else to have access to? You know, there's maybe hitting in that like niche market a little bit. So we've gotten questions on tulips. You know, I've gotten a lot of questions on them, but I would suggest looking into the tulip workshop, and it's people are have been asking questions as far as like why are we not giving up this information and why are we like gatekeeping it a little bit? And it's mostly like it's there's a lot of effort that goes into learning a new crop. There is a lot of nuances and things that could go wrong with tulips, growing them indoors and outdoors, varieties, different varieties. There's timing for all of them. So if you are considering doing that, I would 100% look into the Tulip Workshop. So the tulipworkshop.com/course, I looked it up. And so you can check them out. They have like so many resources. I'm sure this is not new to anybody who's listening to this. They have a lot of experience with, you know, giving you information on that as well. So there's resources out there that you don't have to do the Tulip Workshop. There's plenty of other resources out there to do that, to find it, to speak with bulb reps and learn on your own. But if you are looking for a shortcut on it, they definitely have it there for you if you're interested. So I have not taken it. So I'm not plugging this because I've taken it. We're not getting like commissions off of it. I just know they have it pretty, they have it together and they've got quite a network of people to help you. I know there's lots of resources out there on that.
This was a funny one that came through, but I actually have seen this question a couple different times.
Multiple times. That's why I put it on here this time. That's why I did it.
Okay. Question is, how do you keep your house clean?
We don't.
We don't. I mean, I think I, first of all, our worth is not directly linked to how clean our house is. So to me, I have a clean, I want my kids and my family to have a clean, clutter-free space, safe space to live. Okay. And it's an ebb and flow. Like it's a circle. Okay. So sometimes it's dirtier and then it gets cleaned up. And then sometimes it's an ebb and flow. And my mother-in-law in particular, love her, but she is like very neurotic cleaner. She's like, she has to have everything like perfectly clean. And her self-worth is like linked directly to how clean her house is. For me, it's not like that. I would rather be a happier mother and maybe like need to, my baseboards need dusted or something.
Yeah.
So like for me, I really try to let that go, especially during the season. And I want my kid, I don't want to have a home where like no one can walk on the white carpet or nobody can, don't put your feet on the table or like none of that kind of stuff. So it's a constant cycle. It's clean and then it's dirty and it's clean and then it's dirty. And I think maintenance is kind of the biggest thing. So I take some time every day, do some maintenance items. I'm enlisting my kids for some help. So it's a team effort. It doesn't completely rely upon me. Now that Judd is home and not working UPS, he has been such so much more helpful that way in just maintaining the house. I understand that it is a huge job to maintain all of it. It really is. And if you're feeling like you're drowning with it, and I would recommend if you have the funds, if I wanted to get a house cleaner, I would, or if I really felt I needed it, I would, and I would find the funds to do that. I just haven't really felt like I like needed it yet. Maybe as we start traveling more with the kids as they do activities and stuff, but I would think that's a worthy investment in yourself. Like my mother-in-law would never get a house cleaner because she'd be like, oh my God, that means that I'm incapable of keeping a clean house, you know? So I don't know. It's just, can you please all give ourselves an ounce of grace?
Yeah. Yeah. I have somebody that cleans my house.
Yeah.
That's what I do. It is a form of self-care for me because of when I was working, you know, when I was working two jobs, it was, I just don't enjoy it. I'd rather spend my time outside with the dogs and doing something else on my day off or like in my evening. So I do. I have somebody that cleans my house and I used to feel embarrassed about that. Right. But I'm like, for all just, of the reasons you were just saying, you're like, oh,
yeah.
You know, I've had somebody say to me like, well, you don't even have kids, you know? I'm like,
So what?
Know.
I still
don't want to scrub my own toilet. You know, I will. I have for many years. But then when I got to the point where I was like, oh, you're right. Like I just prioritized it, that was important to me. And that's what I've done. And I like that. And I'm okay with saying that like sometimes the laundry is just absolutely out of control and that's just life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started a few years ago stopping myself from saying when somebody comes to my house, oh, I'm sorry. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah, it's totally fine. They don't care. And if they do care, then, you shouldn't really care about their opinion. You know, yeah. It's just not an Instagram life. But this question made me laugh. But it's like we get it all the time. So I thought we should really talk about this.
Gosh, we're just so hard on ourselves. I mean, yeah. I think if you like really, I mean, I've thought maybe I'll just get someone to clean my bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know, and just come and do that. Run the sweeper and clean. You know, there's all different ways that you can ask for help. And maybe you just need to ask for help. Maybe you're the only one doing it. And your husband and your kids aren't doing anything. I mean, it's okay to ask for help. And I just think it's in a constant state of clean and not even dirty. Just like,
yeah,
get stuff laying around, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just
to yeah. I used to clean before the cleaning lady would come, meaning like you're running around yeah. like picking all this sure. stuff up. Now I'm just like, I just text her. I'm like, sorry, Maddie. Like, it's just
throw it all in this laundry basket I left.
Put it on the bed. I'll deal with it later. So sorry. You know, the insiders, yeah. some people on the insiders are going to call you out because we say sweeper.
Oh,
it's yeah. a vacuum.
Get the sweeper. Oh,
yeah. No. There's like you.
It's been a sweeper.
You That's sweep. I don't know. Yeah. Somebody will tell us. Somebody will tell us. This is a Midwest thing. But yeah, a sweeper. You're on a sweeper.
Yes. Yeah. But let's just all agree to give ourselves an ounce of grace on that.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as I think you're not living in a hoarder-like scenario where there's health issues.
Health concerns.
You're good. You're good.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right. So the last question we have is, how do you keep your snapdragons from bending in the cooler? So I learned this trick that was from there's a sweet couple that lives near me and they're called they're Coolies. They used to own a flower farm in the 90s. And so when I first got started, somebody said, you need to go see them. And so they've become little like mentor friends of mine that I touch base with. Yeah. And they have given me like racks and they have trays, all kinds of stuff. They've given me rubber bands. I mean, just everything. Aww. They haven't been in business for probably 10 plus years, 15 years at this point. But they taught me a trick. And actually, I think Sunny Meadows consulted with them when they got started because I think Steve and Gretel do the same thing. So there's PVC pipe that they cut. And I'll take pictures of it and show you. And it drops down. So imagine a bunch of, it's probably 4-inch, 3-inch PVC or something like that, that they're all duct taped together into a cluster. So it sort of looks like a honeycomb. You can imagine, right? All of these pieces, then the PVC is cut to almost the height of the bucket. And you just drop it down in a 5-gallon bucket. And so you cut these rubber band them, drop them down, and then they would know how many snaps are in the bucket based off of that. But it keeps everything upright. So we use it for ranunculus. We have shorter ones and we have taller ones. You can cut them to different sizes. You can fit them in buckets. So that's one trick. You can double band them, double rubber band them too, like low and high. We do that with anemone as well. But making sure that they're – you can overstuff them in a – bucket too, and then they're bending out on the sides. But do you guys have any tricks?
No, I'm an overstuffer.
You're an overstuffer. Keep them upright.
Yeah.
I mean, it works. It works to keep them way.
It's not 100% though.
No, and the ones on the edges. If the edges start to go out, the flowers start to kind of turn, which is fine. You can have some turning in it, but those PVC drop-ins, it's just an insert. It is one more thing you have to wash. I will say that, but you know, we're only using it for a handful of things. But it's really not a big deal. We just kind of move them in and out and keep them from bending. So that's a little trick.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. Anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went through, is this our shortest episode yet?
30 minutes.
I can't believe
it. I know.
Yeah, it is.
Feels like a quickie. Yeah, it probably is. I should wrap it up, huh? All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you guys listening in each week and, you know, sharing this with your friends. So if you are new around here, welcome. I'm so glad you found us. Thank your friend who forward, you know, our podcast on. If you have not heard us talk about this, we have a group called The Insiders, which is a space where it's just a group of Marigolds that, you know, we chat with every single week. And each week we are adding new content for you to access on our website. So everything from marketing to growing, tips and tricks about our wedding work, and we share it with you. Plus you get a live Zoom with us at the end of each month to get all of your additional questions answered. So it is $20 a month. So cost of a bouquet, it gets you access to all of our content. You can come and go as you please, but we sure hope that you would stick around and it connects you with a growing community of people all over the world. So we would love it if you would join us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Dirt on Flowers. Drop us a comment or a message and let us know what you want to hear from us. So thank you guys so much for being here. We hope you loved today's episode as much as we did. And as always, we will see you the same time, same place next week.